Hi, I'm Amal Awad. I'm a journalist, author, screenwriter. Occasionally, I'm a performer. This is my podcast, Creative Confessionals. I'm sorry it's been a while since I last posted. I didn't realize how long until I looked at my uploads, and I honestly hadn't meant to keep it that long. Unfortunately, I got sick for a couple of weeks, and then a week after that, Sydney went into lockdown with an outbreak of COVID. So it's all happening here in Sydney. And I wanted to finally do an episode on something that has been on my mind many times. I want to talk about the feedback loop and rejection. I want to demystify rejection. And I also want to talk about how much access you give other people to your work. I think it's really important because I think that when you are a writer or a creative of any kind, you know, a lot of what makes you tick is the excitement you feel about a new project. And so there is this desire to share it, and you might expend a lot of that really juicy creative energy telling people what you're going to do. And then by the time you sit down to do it, you don't feel like doing it anymore. And the other thing that happens is sometimes you tell people things with great excitement, even though it's not fully formed yet, the idea, or it's not in action yet. And then they give you a really sort of blunt response or their knee-jerk reaction because they can't really feel your excitement. And then it puts you off and sort of stops you in your tracks and you don't end up doing what you wanted to do. So I wanted to give you some tips and thoughts on things like that, as well as rejection, because I think it's a really important kind of feedback. I also wanted to pull out a card, as I always do, from my deck, The Creative's Compass, a navigation tool for creatives. You can check it out on my website, amalawa.com. Today's card is Creative Envy. I just selected it randomly. The card says, "Creative envy, not useful, kills creativity, whether coming from you or someone else, a misuse of energy and focus." And I thought that's actually like complements what today's episode is about. So first thing, have you ever had that idea that you really got excited about and you felt like it was something you absolutely had to do, whether it was an art project, an article, a memoir piece, a whole book, and probably felt those initial nerves? How do I do this? Where do I begin? And a way of working through your nerves is that you tell people about it. People you trust sometimes random people. I don't know who you tell, but you do tell people because you want to know that you're on the right track. There's just this desire in you to sort of get some sort of initial feedback that, yes, this is something, then I should pursue it. I should follow this lead. And what happens in that moment, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that completely, but what I am suggesting is be very careful about those initial feedback requests. And this is because essentially you're still finding out what your idea is. And your idea, whether you are woo-woo inclined like me or not, is a bit magical. It's a bit energetic, right? And you know this. If you are a creative person, you know that your ideas make you feel a certain way. You know that your body responds, your mind, your heart, everything responds. So if that's the case, and you don't have to be woo inclined at all to believe this, it's really just a feeling that most creatives have, that there is something energetic to your project. Imagine that is something you could actually quantify or fill up in a bottle. Would you be sharing that around with everybody? You wouldn't. You'd be clutching it tight to your chest. And so I think it's something that you have to think about when you are experimenting with an idea, especially in those early stages. You don't want to cut the flower too quickly, right? You want to make sure that it's growing to its potential before you start to talk about it. Now, I have heard people talk about the science behind this, that you get a real kick out of, sort of like, it's almost like the endorphins you get when you exercise. It makes you feel really good to be in a project. And when you start to tell people about it, instead of actually doing it, you're expending that energy. And therefore, the adrenaline you get from that, it kind of depletes you. So by the time it's time to actually sit down and do the work, you don't feel like doing it anymore. Now, I don't know about that. I don't know about the science of that. I don't know if it's true, but I know I felt that. I know absolutely that I have made the mistake of getting really excited about a project and talking about it so much that when it's time to actually sit down and do it, I kind of don't have the same energy towards it. And so I have to work myself back towards that. And I think that is very common. I think it's probably the main reason why I'm so private about my work. I don't talk about it until it's done. unless I have to. And usually the people I'm talking to about it are people who have to know about it. So editors, agents, maybe a friend you trust or a creative you trust whose feedback you really cherish and want. I think you've got to be really careful about who you share things with. Now, I know I talked about creative envy. Yeah, there could be that too. Do you really want to be telling someone who is going to be jealous because you're going off on some exciting path and they don't have that happening for them? That's one possibility. I'm not saying that is the case. It's not my motivation for not telling people. My main motivation is that I am very private. My creativity to me is quite sacred in a way, and I really am very, very mindful of taking care of it, of nurturing it like a garden. You have to be really aware of the conditions you're working under. You know, you wouldn't want to expose things too early, that sort of thing. So that's the first thing. The other thing that I talked about in the intro was that you kind of start to get feedback straight away, right? People don't get what you're saying. Sometimes the idea is really clear in your mind, or even just you know it, like you can picture it in your mind's eye. But when you go to explain it to someone, they're kind of giving you this face or this response that's a bit lukewarm, and you start to get put off your own work. You start to think, well, maybe I'm imagining this, maybe this isn't a good idea. It's not anything yet. You've got to be really careful about giving people access to that idea before it even knows what it is. And this is the thing, ideas are kernels. You don't really know yet what's going to pop. I think you have an idea, it's just not necessarily fully formed. And so therefore you have to give it room to breathe and grow. So just be careful about that initial knee-jerk feedback you get from people, because it's going to put you off sometimes if you don't get the response you want. Or let's say somebody really excitedly says, yes, this is a great idea, I love it, I can't wait. And then you get really excited, you've built up all this energy. Like I said, you might deplete yourself in the process, and then they will start to throw ideas at you. I would absolutely say that would happen every single time, by the way. So if somebody is enthusiastic or not, they will start to give you input, and then you might not like that, and tough luck, because you're the one who's invited them into the conversation. So this isn't about being so protective that you're rude about it. It's being smart. You don't need to share everything. I would say spend time with your creative projects alone before you share them with the world, especially in those early stages. I think it's crucial. I cannot even tell you. That incubation time, that brew time, you need it. Just let things brew, cultivate your work. When it's time to be shared, it will be shared. Now, you will need feedback along the way. Absolutely. And this is where you get to be selective. You get to choose who gets to tell you things, because you're going to get stuck in feedback loops. What that means is be careful of what you take in, because constructive criticism is wonderful. It will help you to grow. Mindless and petty criticism will ground you down. And you'll just get stuck in a feedback loop, because a lot of the time people are just giving you stuff based on their personal taste. And that's totally fine. It's their personal taste. But you are writing something that's according to your personal taste. And so you have to allow for that. And just if you are somebody who can handle anybody's feedback, great, good on you. And I think that's wonderful. Most creatives I know can't, because you're spending so much time on this. It's your baby, you know, it's so important to you. So of course you're going to be protective of it. But also, how do I get the feedback that's actually useful to me? You have to use your common sense, your judgment, your awareness to really judge who should have access to your work. If you have a publishing deal, obviously you're going to hopefully trust your editor, your publisher, to give you honest feedback. That's essential. If you're not in that process where you're working officially or professionally with people, then that's when you have your readers, or you have your viewers of your art, or whatever it is that you're doing, because you do need people you can go to. I think Stephen King talked about how his wife is his reader for every book, and she's brutally honest. I think that's great. My husband reads my work, and I absolutely know he has no poker face. However, his opinion is not the only one that I take. And so, but I can say that I know his feedback will always be truthful. And if he doesn't get something, it will be a clue for me to say, well, I have to think about why he doesn't get that, for example. This is all for me to just say, like, don't let people kill your creativity. Be really careful about how easily you give away your creative juice, in a way. I think it's really important to cherish your creative processes, and at the same time, understand that your works in progress are works in progress. They're not going to emerge from you fully formed. It's rare that anybody could just develop something and its first draft or its first iteration is just what it should be. It just doesn't happen a lot. Now, while we're talking about feedback, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that horrible word, rejection. Everybody's experienced rejection. There's nothing to be afraid of when it comes to rejection. There are a lot of reasons why you might be rejected, and you have to try to build a very thick skin so that you can understand that for every success somebody has, there are about 3 or 4 failures or rejections, let's say. Sometimes I've been rejected because I've taken it to the wrong place. You know, it's not the right magazine or newspaper. Sometimes it's the wrong editor. The editor doesn't share my vision and doesn't want to publicize that particular viewpoint, for example. Whether or not it's, is it really that your work isn't good? That's something for you to decide. If you've had constant rejections, I would then probably take a step back and say, okay, well, what are the common themes in the rejections? What is it that I can piece together about why I'm not succeeding in this? Am I having a good time? Is this something I really want to spend more time on? How can I improve my craft, whatever it is? How do I get to the point where I'm not being rejected all the time? If you're passionate enough about something. If you are someone who, like many of us, has had sort of a series of hits and misses, you know, you get things through, but some things don't get through. So it still happens, by the way. It doesn't matter how published you are or how well known you are. People will still get rejections. You have to sort of be really strategic and say, well, okay, where should I place this piece? Where do I try to get this art put on display? Things like that. This might sound really basic, but you'd be surprised at how many people just don't really realize that. And that is because, as I alluded to earlier, there is something quite magical about creativity that makes us feel like, well, if I'm doing this, I'm meant to be doing it, and it's just naturally going to find its home. And how did I get rejected if this was something I felt led to do? Well, there's a lot of reasons why we're led to do things. We could be led to do something because it gives us joy personally, or it helped us not focus on something else, or it helped to heal us. It was cathartic. It wasn't necessarily meant to be brought out into the world, but it was meant to be brought out of us so that we could go through a process for some reason. There are a lot of reasons why we create, and it's not always for others. If it is, if that is in your heart, if that is something you truly want, then I honestly advocate doing stock takes occasionally to sort of see where you're going with something. If it's writing or art, filmmaking, acting, whatever the creative path that you're on, you want to do a stock take of where you're landing hard and where you're doing really well, basically, where it just feels like it's one hit after another and you're doing really well. Rejection isn't personal a lot of the time. Maybe it could be on occasion. I mean, if we want to get a bit soap opera-ish about all of this, it does happen, I'm sure. I know that every single industry in the world has its politics, and I'm not going to suggest otherwise, but a lot of the time rejection is simply rejection because the person you've pitched to doesn't want to publish what you're saying, or they've published something like that 3 months ago and so they feel like it's too soon to write something about that again. I've had rejections. I mean, there's a saying in media, kill fee. It's a term that is given to when an editor has actually commissioned something and then they reject it after they've read the piece that you wrote, and they will give you a kill fee because they'll say, well, I'm going to pay you half of what I was going to pay you because I did commission it, but I don't want to run it anymore. That happened to me once, and it was a little bit political. I won't go into it, but in hindsight, I can absolutely see that I didn't accept the kill fee. I was just so mortified that they wouldn't run the piece, but in hindsight, I absolutely know why they didn't. And it wasn't because of the writing in this case, it really was because they didn't want to publicize the viewpoint that I was advocating at the time. So I think it's really important to see rejection in more neutral terms. I think it's really important to think about who's rejecting you and why, if that makes you feel better. I think it's really important to put yourself out there so that rejection doesn't hurt as much. The more rejections you have, the more you are inoculating yourself against that in a way. I know that sounds a bit counterintuitive in some ways, but trust me, it works. Once you've had a few rejections and a few successes, you start to see it as a strange balance, you know, of good and evil when it comes to your creative work. I think it's really important to just try. It's really important to start getting that feedback that's quite honest. And honestly, as a writer, if I wasn't open to feedback, I would never succeed as a writer. Because I'm always getting it. Whether I like it or not, I'm getting feedback constantly, whether it's from people who are reading the books after they've been published. But from the earliest stages, you get feedback from your agent, you get feedback from your editor, from your publisher, you get feedback from consumers after it's been published. And that also tells you something that, you know, you might think you've written something wonderful, but other people don't agree, or it could be the other way around. Maybe you think what you wrote was horrible and people love it. You know, it just, it's a strange thing, right? You don't really know why one thing works and another doesn't. So I would just say, try to demystify rejection, try to loosen its hold on you somehow. Don't be afraid of it, because it hurts a little and it still does later. It doesn't ever stop feeling a little bit weird, I guess. But at the same time, if you can intellectualize it a little bit sometimes and say, well, okay, well, maybe they just weren't the right people for that piece or for whatever, you will feel better about it and you won't let it interfere with your path. It's very important to be honest with yourself more than anyone about your work. I think we know deep down when we're on the right path or when we're doing something that we should be doing. And I don't know, I always come back to my instincts. They're so spot on more often than I realize. And I sometimes ignore my intuition. And honestly, I would say 99% of the time I regret that. But it's also how I've learned a lot about learning to trust myself more, but also understanding that people will always, you know, sometimes they really don't like things and that's okay. Or sometimes they don't get what you're doing. That's okay too. What you have to be careful of is how that affects you as the creator. So you have to make sure that you use feedback in a constructive way. It's such an important term, constructive feedback, because it means I can take what you're saying, and even if I don't want to do exactly what you're saying I should do, I'm going to pay attention to why you said it. And that is something that is an invaluable tool for you if you have the ability to start listening to what people are saying, looking for the common kinds of feedback that you're getting as well. It's so important, and that's because we're always learning and we're always evolving. We're growing all the time as artists, as writers, as actors, or whatever. So to think that we have all the answers isn't necessarily right. But it also doesn't mean that just because somebody has more experience than you that they're necessarily right either. You have to use your discernment and your judgment about who you let in, about whose influence you let rule or dictate your work. And that's in anything, you know, and I think it's really important to try to, I don't know, sort of loosen up a little bit so that it's not so, you're not so tightly wound when people are giving you their feedback. Even, I mean, I've developed techniques about how I approach my work and I'm very private. Most people who know me know that I don't talk about anything until it's done. So I'll just pop up on social eventually and say, oh, here's a book that is coming out or whenever. And that's just my personal approach. I actually don't think it's right or wrong. It's right for me though. I know that. And as I said, I think part of the reason why I feel so strongly about that is because the more I let people in on things, the more I start to take on their energies of my project, or like their thoughts, their ideas, what they think I should or shouldn't do. And then I start to lose sight of what I really feel. So if there's anything I'd like to emphasize in today's episode, it's that your creativity is personal to you. It's not personal to other people in the same way. So that's why I say don't take rejection personally. The stakes aren't as high for that person as they are for you, for a lot of the time anyway. And the feedback loop, choose that carefully. You know, choose who you allow in to that slippery dip in your mind, basically, because if you just start to let too many voices in, you lose sight of your own. You basically stop hearing yourself. You stop understanding what you truly want and what you desire. And I think that that's the worst casualty that can happen out of anything when it comes to your creativity. And yeah, look back on that envy thing. Don't worry about what other people are doing, and don't let other people worry about what you're doing. This is your stuff. This is the joy of being a creative. It's this beautiful exciting life that you get to have. And I know it's stressful and I know it's hard and I know it doesn't pay a lot of money until it does and all of that. But gosh, you know, you get to play. You get to play in the world in a way that so many people don't make time for. So cherish that, honor that, treat it as sacred because it is. I hope that helps. I know it's a short episode. I really just wanted to get back on to keep it going, to keep the momentum going. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's really nice to see the numbers slowly going up and getting people from all around the world. I'm always amazed when I see that there are people from the US and Germany and the UK. I'm really, really touched that people from around the world are finding what I say resonant. Please reach out to me if there's anything you'd like me to cover. amalawa.com. There's a contact form there. I have a card deck for creatives if you're interested. That's also on my website. I have a book out at the moment called In My Past Life, I Was Cleopatra. The US release of that book will be August 17. I'm really chuffed, speaking of feedback, to share that I actually did get some really lovely reviews from the industry in the US in Publishers Weekly and Forward reviews. And I hope you will check that out when it comes out in the US. It's already out in the UK and Australia. In My Past Life, I Was Cleopatra. And I have a novel coming out in Australia in a little bit over a month. So I think very end of August. And I think that the ebook will be available everywhere. And you can also order the print from, I think, Book Depository anywhere in the world. I had to throw that on the end because I'm excited. I want to start sharing my work after it's done a bit better. I haven't been very good at that, which is probably the last point I should make. Don't be afraid to share your work. Actually, it's really important to, I think, allow people to see it. It's where I fall down. I'm so private that I kind of just, I do it and I move on to the next thing. But actually, you should take time to try to enjoy what you've achieved because it's really special. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, take care, stay safe, and thank you.